Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I'm your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host. We've got the one and only Dr. Shamu.
Hello, hello.
And we've got the sassy, as always, Sublime Manic.
I feel like Rose from the Titanic. Sublime Manic. And it's been 84 years.
Oh, no.
But my boy's coming back to me.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. We are here to party today. I haven't done much this week, in all honesty. I've been kind of slammed at work. I've been thinking about decks to play at Pittsburgh next week. Like sometimes I dream about them.
Same. I've been totally practicing and totally totally been prepping.
This sounds like something we can do tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, maybe tomorrow. Maybe later today. Whatever. Day of recording or sometime.
I don't have time today, but maybe tomorrow.
I'll see. We'll figure it out though.
If not, I definitely have time on Monday.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I think we all have time on Monday.
We definitely do. It's just going to be an entire day of Shamu and I sitting at a desk, throwing cards on a table at each other.
Drago Path.
Drago. I mean, you just play Path now, right? That's how you win the game.
Yeah, I play my sixth Path and I just lock you out of the game and make you cry.
Oh, God. You'd make Gator proud.
I mean, I feel like you just play a deck that doesn't care about Path, which a lot of people can.
Pretty much the same, and if they get rid of my path, I just go, cool, let me Drago or Starburst and just get two cards, or get two paths from my discard back.
Yeah, I'm really okay
just make
with
you cry again.
I'm really okay with the idea of just playing something that's very path-resistant.
Oh yeah, path-resistant or path-neutral type of thing, they don't care.
Something that just doesn't really care about path too much, which is a lot of things, in all honesty, right now.
Yeah, I need Lost Box deck pretty much, other than like the Greninja, you know, but oh, well, you're Radiant or whatever, but that's not end of the
world. Radiant Greninja is never really a huge make it or break it. It's kind of like bonus whenever I play Lost Box.
It turns off your little bonus draw engine in the worst cases, but it's not really needed. It's just... Yeah.
So it's a win more button.
It's a win more button, because you're already digging five cards deep every turn, plus with like Comfy / Colruth, you know?
Yeah, like, you're digging like 7 to 9 cards on average anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I've got ideas about what I want to play. I'm going to probably sleeve some stuff up, and then we can talk tomorrow. If not, I'll just play online.
Mm-hmm.
We should invite Claude. He might come and play with us.
Maybe, yeah.
Come and test. But, yeah. All right, then. What about you, Sublime? What you been up to? Anything cool, interesting going on?
You know, I'm going to call it glamping.
I understand this.
Went to a cabin in the woods for a retreat before the school year starts, and it was rejuvenating.
I can imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm too old to be laying on the ground. I did my years, I did my time.
Man,
okay?
Tell me about it, though.
Exactly.
No, my friends go camping a lot. Okay, so my friends go camping, but in an empty lot that one of my friends owns. It wasn't supposed to be an empty lot. He bought it because he wanted to put a pole barn up so he could like park some cars there. And it turned out that the city was just like, no, you can't do that, that's not zoned for this. So now the lot is just empty until he puts like a tiny home on it, so that he's gonna put like a tiny home on it and then just put the giant pole barn right next to the tiny home. But it needs the tiny home first because it's supposed to be marked residential.
And love that.
And so what they're doing instead is they just go camping out there, and I always call it their hobo simulating, because they're just in an empty lot camping. Literally, one of them has like a cot tent thing. It's like the tent is on the cot, if that makes sense. And he like sleeps on that, but like not on the ground, on a trailer that he has on the property.
Yeah, it's just practice for you are a hobo.
Yeah, yeah. I always give them crap. I just go, oh, so you're gonna go hobo simulating?
Yeah.
Can I get your ups in?
One of them was like gonna go buy like supplies once, like he's gonna go buy a new tent and stuff like that. I'm like, don't forget your fingerless gloves when you stand around your 55-gallon drum that's on fire. You need those. Those are essential. He did end up buying fingerless gloves too, which I think is even funnier. But yes. All right. Other than that, I have just not been doing a ton. I am looking forward to Pittsburgh next week, though.
I'm just looking forward to the redawning of the Age of Snivy.
That's true.
Obviously.
Also, there were leaks for Teal Mask already, which is kind of insane, but also awesome. I don't know. I haven't been excited about leaks in, honestly, years.
Yeah, I'm just like, because we're gonna, the thing with these DLCs, from what we've seen, even just from the trailers, like, there's a lot of Pokemon coming back. At least for me personally, with the Beast Ball decks, mm-hmm. I get to, like, with the Doduo coming back, and that it's in one of them. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
But, Doduo coming back, like, completes Gen 1. I think the same thing with Seal. Like, Seal and Doduo are, like, the last, like, Gen 1 Pokemon, other than, like, the Hat Pikachus, which are not really reasonable, you know? Like, you're not gonna catch them.
Well, those aren't catchable. Those are always just given away as gifts.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying, like, other than, like, the weird forms of, like, those are, like, weird things that you would never probably
Pikachu
be able to catch.
Pikachu Libre,
but,
you know?
And yeah, like, those, like, that, like, Seal and Doduo, I think it's just those two. Just that completes Gen 1 for, like, Gen 7 onwards.
That's cool.
Which is nice. Like, that's a nice milestone, you know? Because that means it's also all the Kurt Balls, too, though. I think those are probably doable to a degree already because of, like, transfer and stuff, but like it's a very nice thing to see some of these Pokemon that haven't been here for a while come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually really excited for a lot of the Pokemon that are coming back. I'm very excited just to see. I like that it's in a different region this time instead of just being like here's Galar Island.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to see it being in another region, which is an interesting take, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
To just make another zone that's a completely different island or a different region. I kind of like this better, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Just because it opens up what they're allowed to have available, if that makes sense. Like,
it gives them more freedom.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, like, very much go, hey, here are these two Galar Islands. We just kind of have to force it to be in this island and make it work around whatever is supposed to be here. This is just going, you're just going somewhere else, like, you could even have a Kanto DLC, essentially, what they're saying with doing something like this, by going to another region.
To some, I would be, honestly, a Kanto DLC, I don't know how I feel about that, honestly, because...
I don't know if I'd want, I don't think I want, but I'm saying the fact of, like, how Gen 2 lets you go back to Kanto, that kind of, we could have something like that, where you can go back to another region.
Going back to a whole other region was always, like, iconic.
I think that would be really cool to do in Gen 10. Like, they know Gen 10's coming up, right? So, they must know that it's gonna be, that would be a great celebration, because I think that's gonna be pretty close to the 30th anniversary, the Gen 10 release. I honestly hope it's on the 30th anniversary instead of them rushing it on the, like, 29th anniversary, I think it would be right now on schedule. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I mean, they did have that article about, like, how do we make our games better without, you know, compromising quality.
Yeah, a lot of studios are having to deal with that.
Yeah,
type
well,
of stuff. Because, like, the Saints Row publisher just went down, like, a day or two ago.
Yeah, it's a thing that's happening a lot. I think it's just because these projects are just so massive, and honestly, a lot of these companies have come up from not hard enough things to do, or hard enough development cycles. Like, you look at Zelda, right? Zelda took 6 years. Both of them, actually.
Well, that's an average. Like, a lot of games are taking, like, at least 5 years to make, and then if they just don't do well, that's it. They put too much money into it, and they can't recoup. They can't recuperate.
No, they are scared of that.
Like everything, everyone should be scared. It's just that's how it's going.
To be fair, I think if Pokemon even just took a year off
Oh yeah, no, they don't need to do it every year. They can do it like every other year, every 3 years, or like
exactly
one and a half with like a weird throw off game in the middle. You know, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, just give them some, give it a break. I think we are all okay with that.
Yeah, even then, like, I think DLC is such a good middle ground.
Oh no, it is. Yeah. DLC is a great middle ground. It lets you not have to put too much wreath.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, like, Sword and Shield Scarlet and Violet is a very good base. For a game outside of all of the graphical issues,
mm-hmm.
in terms of gameplay, I don't see why you wouldn't just keep going, right? Just do it again. Like, give us another set of DLC.
Yes, and...
I mean, I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I think that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would go over so well with so many people.
I would want to talk about it more, but I think we could save it for later.
Yeah, this absolutely.
It's getting to a ground where that's how I feel about the DLCs.
Yeah, yeah.
In a positive way, but I just don't want to use it up all of right now.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about it later. In fact, you know, that's a good transition. We'll go kick it on over to the news, guys. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we got a few things to talk about. First and foremost, and the most important news on this document today, is new Squishmallows are announced for Clefairy and Teddy Ursa. This is important. They have a lot of
that
Pokemon Squishmallows now. I remember when I started.
Squishmallows are great. Oh my god, the kids are so into them. And once I saw them and felt them, I'm like, I'm on board.
I mean,
I'm
They do feel like that. Like the squish is very good. I do agree with that. I just
on product though. Oh, there's some cool stuff they just put on Pokemon Center like yesterday.
Yeah, I just don't. What did they put on yesterday? Anything cool?
But bookends.
Oh, I did see the bookends.
They're like $45 bookends. There's a Nidorino Gengar one.
I did see the Nidorino Gengar one. And that's the one.
Flygon Dragonite, Gyarados Magikarp. They're so good. I would get.
Oh, they are.
I would have bought them if I did not already have like the silver ones from the like the Kanto starter they made a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would totally have gotten these if I didn't have stuff already.
I think these are cooler than the silver Kanto starter ones.
They totally are. It's just that I don't need to have 10 bookends.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I completely understand.
Like, I would totally do the Gyarados one because I love that Gyarados one. That thing's awesome. But, like.
Oh, Halloween stuff's coming out too already. Oh, man.
Yeah, they're starting.
It is September.
The product stuff is getting pumped out now. So,
gotta start thinking about your costume.
Oh, I don't even know if I'm going to do that, but we'll see. I mean, I love Pokemon product, but yeah, Squishmallows coming to Clefairy and Teddy Ursa. I think they've got like four or five of them now.
Ooh, there's a Mimikyu ceramic treat bowl.
I know, I saw that.
Nice.
Actually, I bought my wife last year, I bought her the, like, little Gengar pumpkin thing to hold candy in.
Oh, that one, I remember that,
Yeah, she got a new job and she was very excited to use it. So she bought it, we bought it for her, so she took it to work and like put all of her candy in it. Moving on. There's going to be a Hatsune Miku collaboration through the month of September, which is this month. And it's celebrating the 18 types with artwork and music, maybe?
It'll start when this comes out.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's on the 4th.
So go check it out.
And if you are like me and you forgot that Pokemon was doing even more little animations that you almost definitely forgot about, Paldea Wings first episode airs on Wednesday on YouTube. So be sure to check that out. I forget about these little projects all the time. They were exciting. I remember being super hyped for them during the 20th anniversary when they were leading up to not X and Y, but Sun and Moon. And they were doing all of these little like generation things. And we got these cool little like 5 to 10 minute videos.
Vignettes. Right. Yeah, they were great.
Detailing something that happened in game. Like I appreciate the world building that they're doing now, especially with like Horizons and with these little things. Where they're kind of ignoring things that happened in game. But I don't know. There's just like some moments that hit you real hard watching Pokemon stuff. Like the one where it was the two that come to mind specifically. One's when they're when you're infiltrating the rocket base with Lance. And the other one was when they were infiltrating like the Aqua base. Those just like hit me in the feels very differently than most other content. But all right, our next one is going to come to you from... Oh, this is Scarlet Violet news.
Yep, we've got raid news, because Mewtwo's out, and oh boy, is it hard.
I have not tried it.
It requires 4 people, and essentially 4 Mews. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Specifically, I think it has to be certain ones, because not all of the ones get the buff.
Oh, it has to be the one that you got from, like, the...
There's other ones that work, but it's not all of them, from what I was seeing bits and pieces of. But yeah, if you have the certain Mew, like, either the event one, or I think you can, like, get one from Go that works, too. I think that one works. I'm not sure. It will get, like, a 50% stat boost. So, like, your HP goes from, like, 404 if you're at max to, like, 606.
Okay.
So I think it's, like, it might be in all stats, too. But yeah, it requires like 4 Mews, and essentially it has infinite Calm Mind, this Mewtwo.
Fun.
And so, yeah, and it also uses Rust.
Cool.
With a Chesto.
Does the Chesto recharge?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No, but how it starts is you have the Mewtwo. It starts with a break bar, essentially, that's half its HP. So you get it to half. The whole gimmick is that you get it to half, it then rests, goes back up to full, and you have to take it down from there. There's ways to stop it with, like, Misty Terrain, but essentially the easiest strat that I think that's been kind of figured out, people have been doing this in the Discord, so if you need help, you can hop in and people will try to help you out when they're available.
Yeah.
It's essentially, like, 3 offensive bug Terra Mews with, like, Leech Life, Sword Stance, and Struggle Bug.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, that 4th move is a splash move, you know, you could do something like a Light Screen, Life Dew, Misty Terrain, whatever. And then it's honestly easy to have a 4th Mew that is just a full-on support Mew, using, like, the Light Screen, the Misty Terrain, and Struggle Bug along with Life Dew. Like, having those, like, utility moves and just kind of keeping things up so you don't just get one shot.
Yeah, I understand that.
But, it's not easy. I do not think you could solo this. If you did, congrats, you got either really lucky or you figured something out. But, it's brutal, because if you don't have, like, the right thing, it's just gonna size strike you out of this world. It does have a lot of good rewards though, at least. So, it's like, I think the first one is like 3 ability patches compared to other ones. So
oh, that's
it's
nice.
Like, yeah. It's a lot of stuff. But it's hard. People in Discord are doing it, so. I don't know how long it runs actually though. I don't know if it's only with this weekend or if it's for like a week. I do not remember.
I don't know, actually.
But, need help, hop in the Discord. But then also we have Regulation E announcements. It runs October and November, and it's gonna add all the I don't know if it's all the DLC, but adds the DLC Pokemon to the format, so it's gonna expand.
Yeah,
expand the meta with the DLC.
It's just gonna bring in whatever showed up in Teal Mask, I assume.
Pretty much, yeah. I just don't know how far it'll go with everything. If we'll add like Legends.
Where does it? How long does it go to?
It says October, November here. I do not know any,
Okay. No. It's usually a full month, right?
So maybe I don't.
So it runs through November, which probably means that, Regulation F might start in December, and Regulation F
would be the
second DLC Pokemon, which tells me the second DLC might drop in November.
It could. Well, if E is running October, November, and the DLC comes out in September, it's more likely that it could come out
in November.
End of November,
sometime in November. I think that's very realistic.
That's fair, yeah, because then it could be December, January, and then whatever else.
Yeah.
But yeah. But that's Regulation
Gotta change E. it up, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's going to be Electric Terra Mimikyu will be at GameStop for Halloween. So we get a fun little Mimikyu there. Get your Terrish Ball Mimikyu.
Spooky.
Do people still go to GameStop to get these?
I don't know.
The only reason
I'd want to go to GameStop is to get, like, the promo cards, but, like, even then
they're not even
that.
Real promos. They're just, like, stamped, right?
Yeah, but I still like them because I'm a fanatic for promos.
Yeah, they're not, like, number promos is what I'm saying.
Not usually.
I've never seen any. Well, to be fair, I don't think the promos that are there right now are particularly useful. But when
they're not useful, but they are actually like worth something because it's Best Buy one is like Umbreon and GameStop is Espeon or vice versa. So it's like, look at the Eeveelutions.
Right.
They're worth money.
You're right.
It's unfortunate. I just like collecting because I want to I've got a bunch of promos. I like collecting promos. Yep.
All right. Well, take us home, Sublime, with some Unite and Pokemon Go news.
So speaking of Mimikyu, we're going to bring him into the Unite conversation as well. Because it's coming on October 19th. Yeah, Ooky Spooky. Get you a ghost type that isn't already in the game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Too bad it's not effective against Mewtwo here. All right. So, Go news. Starting September 5th, the Paldean starters and Lechonk will be added to the game.
That is
so
funny.
And then
the
event for...
You know,
that it's just Lechonk.
No. Do you know what's not in the game before the Paldean starters come out? The Galar starters are not in the game.
You know what? They had their chance.
I feel like universally nobody's upset about this, by the way. I'm pretty sure.
Who? That's why. What?
Yeah, no, when? Like, where? I don't think anybody's like, oh man, I'm missing out on score, buddy. I think everybody over here is just like, yeah, no, the Paldean starters are more hype.
He's the only one. Yeah.
There's a few people who might care about the Galar starters, but they're like the one of the few starters where I would look at
them. I feel like they're one of my, one likes them. Does anyone like them? Like, ugh.
They were just so meh, right? Like,
yeah.
Did anyone like that they were all monotype? I feel like that's a big part of it for me.
At this point, I feel like monotype starters just can't exist in this day and age.
It's
of
a
Pokemon.
Waste. Yes. Yes. It and makes you feel like you're missing out on something more.
Let's talk about this during
the topic.
I think that's an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing to talk about. You're right. Anyway, we get in the Paldean starters and Lechonk. And then September 10th through 15th is going to be adding Nimble, Pommy, and Frigibax, which will be rare, obviously, and will inevitably be a community day. But that's another story. Also, Bombardier will be available in the 3-star raids.
I love Bombardier.
Yeah. My Bombardier, I used it. It's cool.
Bombardier is fine. You know. It's fine.
It has like 3 stab moves. That's fun. Anyway, fun. September 1st through 16th have the return of Kartana and Celesteela to raids. And they'll swap hemispheres on the 8th, so you gotta do it both halves. And then there's time research to get another Master Ball over the next 2.5-ish months, but it requires 60 raids as one of the steps, so...
Yes.
You know.
And people might be aware of it, like, by the time this comes out, but you can have 2 Master Balls. It does stack. People were, like, wondering if it would, like, actually let you have 2, or if it's gonna, like, not... If it's gonna cap at 1.
I was pretty convinced they were just going to let you hold 2. Because I imagine they're just going to do this every once in a while. Where they're just like, here's another chance to get a Master Ball.
And then people were worried and didn't know it's not like you got like 3 of them at the beginning. You got 1 and and it's like they didn't know, but we got confirmation at least at the day of recording from someone in Japan. They just did it in like 1 day.
It's actually, if you play pretty hardcore, it's probably not too bad actually to finish that quest in a day.
If you're going out and doing like 5 raids a day, you're probably fine, you know, or like a 5, like 5 to 10 at like a,
it's 80, you have 80 days to do it. So if you do a raid a day,
I didn't even know how long it lasted, but yeah, no, if you're doing a raid a day, you're fine, you know, or even like 2 or 3 for a couple days here and there, you know,
You're fine. Yeah. It's not going to be that bad. The harder part is going to be the 120 excellent throws. That's the harder part. But all right. Yes, that is, it looks like the news. So before we quit, Puckle's Pokey prediction. How do you think the dog, the monkey, and the pheasant rank among each other in singles? Will any of them end up getting banned from OU? Poison Fairy, I think, is the most interesting of all of those.
Agreed.
We don't know that.
Oh, we don't know that.
Well, we'll see.
Well,
we'll see.
We definitely don't know that. Probably the pheasant. Then we'll cut that out.
Yeah, Pheasant Dippity. Pheasant Dippity. Yeah.
Pheasant Dippity is probably going to be
Team Pheasant Dippity.
Most interesting. I think the dog's going to be too slow to do anything. And the monkey's going to be...
It comes down to, like... types and stats, but like assuming big bear guy is like slower, it could be maybe it's Incineroar, maybe it's not. That depends on typing. Monkey, it's maybe, we don't know. It depends on stats in that one, I feel.
We don't know stats either. The stats could be just like real poop.
Yeah, because like if the monkey is just super slow and doesn't have anything to make up for it, then I don't know, you know. And then again, It really comes down to stats and typing being harmonized, like harmonizing. I can see the bird being at least faster, so even if it has like a mid typing, it could at least possibly be utility. Maybe, but like, it really depends. We don't have enough info to really go off of, and we have no idea if they have signature moves or not. Or
yeah, we want to know the move pools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The move pools could be honestly really bad.
Because we know the ability is just like, Poison Touch Plus, right? That's what it is. Something
it's
like
Toxic Poison Touch, but like it's when you attack, not when you get attacked.
Mm, well, that's more reliable.
Poison Touch is always when you attack, so it's just Poison Touch with Toxic. Is it?
Poison Touch, yes. I thought, was if you got touched.
It's Toxic
I'm thinking
touch.
Poison Point. I'm thinking Poison Point.
Yeah, you're thinking Poison Point. Yeah. Poison Touch gives all your moves like a...
It's whenever it makes contact. It's whenever it makes contact, yeah. But it needs to make contact. This new one doesn't need to make contact. It just needs to be a move.
Yeah, it just gives all your Pokemon a chance to talk. Moves the chance to talk.
And it's
which
toxic.
Is good.
I think it's actually good now, especially with how they limited Toxic.
Yeah, no, definitely. Essentially giving all of your moves a toxic chance is very nice. It just depends on how often
it
is.
Yes.
If it's like 5%, then maybe, but like if it's like 10 or 15, that might be alright, you know? That's, that's workable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really depends on movesets, stat. There's a lot of information we don't have yet, but we'll know in like 2 weeks, or like a week and a half.
Yep. Alright. Well, I think that's where we'll end it. We're going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to... Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to get right into it. Our first question is going to come to you from Foxy. What is the only grass-type move that cannot be learned by any means by any grass-type Pokemon?
Grass-type move that can't be learned by grass-type Pokemon. Okay. So it's a signature, I would assume, or it's...
Yep.
Probably a signature.
What signature grass-type moves are there?
There's Seed Flare, but that's learned.
I feel like I could give you the name of the move, and it would not give it to you entirely, but the name of the move is Snap Trap.
A Glaring Stunfisk.
I
didn't want you guys twisting forever, because I forgot that was a move, because nobody uses it. But yes, is correct.
I might have stumbled on it. I have definitely looked into Stunfisk for multiple reasons.
Snap Trap is cannot be selected in battle in Gen 9, but Metronome can use it.
I love
the effect of Dexit on signature moves, by the way, in Scarlet and Violet particularly, because Metronome just uses a bunch of moves that Gen 8 came up with that nobody else has. So I really appreciate that about it. But yeah, Snap Trap is correct by Galarian Stunfisk. I mean, I'll give it to you. I should have gone the question backwards and told you it was Galarian Stunfisk that could learn it. And maybe you would have figured it out.
I probably would have gotten it that way, too.
Yep. All right. But that's I'll give you the point, because I thought that was a very, very hard question.
I only got lucky because I'm remembering now what I was looking. I was looking at grappling moves in PTU, and that was one of them.
That makes sense, actually.
You get
all right,
wrap, so constrict, and snap trap.
And all then, like, right. Jaw lock.
Your next question is going to come to you from Duke Challenger, Tiger M40. Which set first gym leader has the highest level Pokemon? By that means we can't count Scarlet and Violet because you can go to
anyone
anywhere.
Anyone can be first. Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Any anytime a gym leader is first, out of those gym leaders, which gym leader has the highest level Pokemon?
So the first gym you challenge in a game?
In a game.
The first gym you can challenge in a game that has the highest level.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good question.
Are we counting Colosseum?
No, Colosseum does not have gyms.
Just the main gyms, I'm guessing.
Okay, well, I want to make sure, because I think, like, Justy's, like, 40s, which is, like,
technically. Technically, it's not a gym, it's a pre-gym.
Yeah, it's a pre-gym, but I don't know if that would be considered in the question, but okay. But other than that, what game has the highest level?
I'm inclined to say it'll be something newer, because of how they turned on the auto XP share.
I think so.
Like, levels have been inflated.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, the Ranger. I think Brock is, like, 14, generally. Like, that's where he capped out. I think he's, like, 12 and 14, or something like that.
Oh, it's Brock and Gold and Silver.
But that wouldn't count as first. That wouldn't count as first.
Oh.
That'd
be a fun
out.
Way to go around it, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Roxanne has... What does Roxanne have?
Yeah, I'm curious about what level Roxanne's nose pass is.
I think it's still, like, 14,
not
though.
That high, right? I feel like something must be getting to level 16. Maybe in Galar? What's the first, what's the highest level you find in Galar for the grass, for our grassy boy?
Oh, it might be Milo.
Yeah.
Because you
I'm
have
feeling
a
like it's
it
Milo.
Takes a while
exactly.
to get to Milo.
And, like, that is a game with X share all on, and, like, they delayed it, which gives me reason to feel like maybe it's Milo.
You know, I just want to go with Milo, actually. Because I think he's, like, 17 or something like that, and maybe we're just overthinking it a bit, but, like, I have a weird feeling it's Milo, because I still remember it taking forever to actually get to him, and... In most senses, if it takes forever to get to a gym leader, it means it's going to be a higher level generally. And I can't think of anything else that's even like maybe above 15. I feel like they're generally like 14-ish at their cap for gym one. But I recall Milo being higher still. I remember
like maybe
having
16
like,
or 17.
Evolution.
Yeah, I feel like Gen 6 or 7, and I'm feeling like Gen 7 gives you more time before the gym.
So we're going with Milo. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, Milo.
Yeah.
Milo is correct.
Yeah.
Milo's Eldegoss is at level 20.
It is 20. Yeah.
Sharon's, I believe, is the second, but only in challenge mode.
Right. Well,
With a level 14, it's like it's like 15 or 14. I don't think it's a 14 Piplup. I think it might be 15, but I don't remember. And then in Scarlet and Violet, Katie technically has a level 15 Titty Ursa, if you want to count Katie as the first gym leader.
It would be the first gym leader, technically, you could...
lowest level in that region, sure.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. This is going to come to you from Alpha Sapphire. As soon as it spots others of its kind, it congregates with them and then begins crying in noisily union. This Pokemon sleeps while cleverly balancing itself on one foot. Who's that Pokemon?
Hoot.
Crying. Well,
oh, wait,
the
crying,
one foot
though.
Thing.
The one foot thing is what gets me, like, the
that,
only thing
yeah,
I can
that
think.
Made you think of Hoot for sure. But do Hoot cry?
I don't know, actually, thinking about it, but.
It's weird they're calling it a foot.
Okay. They gather in groups and cry, and then it balances on one foot. And I think you gave it a hint by accident, Thatch.
I hope so.
It wasn't by accident.
Okay.
We're
on purpose. So, cries in groups, stands on
and one foot. One appendage.
One appendage, yeah.
You know, just thinking of the one foot thing made me think of Mime Jr.
Was this an Alpha Sapphire Dex entry? Was that
it was an Alpha Sapphire Dex entry.
Okay. I thought you said it was from Alpha. I didn't even catch it. I was like thinking like... The person was named Alpha Sapphire, and I was
like...
Well,
I think it's Omega Ruby,
no.
Not Alpha Sapphire, but, you know, same difference.
Okay, so it's a... All right. Did Alpha Sapphire have past
That was back when, I think everything was in the decks.
Yeah,
it was,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I didn't know for sure.
Oh, it was Alpha Sapphire. Never mind, I lied. It was Alpha Sapphire.
Oh, it's gonna be hard, because I can't...
Maybe we should just guess Hoot and then see another clue? It's not Hoot though.
It's not
Hoot.
No.
So why do that?
appendage. I just keep thinking APOM now, but I'm like, I don't think APOM would just cry. I feel like it'd be more about the mischief or it using its like tail, yeah, like a hand.
Oh, well, maybe it's crying in a mischievous way.
Maybe, I don't know. Is it Spoink? No.
Those can't ever stop.
No, they're about the Perler not ever being able to stop bouncing. Pat, like, what the hell is it standing
I'm
on?
I'm gonna need an answer.
I don't know.
To move on.
Anything.
We just want...
Let's say APOM?
Sure, APOM.
APOM is unfortunately incorrect.
Give us another one.
All right. This one comes from Omega Ruby.
Great.
It moves while spinning around on its one foot. Primitive wall paintings depict this Pokemon living among people were discovered in some ancient ruins.
Spinning around on one foot. Okay, that's different.
Okay, and I'm going to be nice because Liger writes these, and when Liger writes them, he usually does this. But these are the same entries that are available in Ruby and Sapphire.
Interesting.
At least that narrowed it down to Gen, like to 3 Gen,
to
at least.
To the 200 decks of Gen 3.
386.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, is there a Nat Dex?
There were 200 Pokemon in Ruby Sapphire originally.
Yeah, but there's still a Nat Dex. There's still a Nat Dex.
That's true. That's true. Oh, that's a foreign concept to me. Footumtis. Let's see. 1 foot, and it spins on 1 foot, and then it sleeps on 1 foot. This is a very talented foot, and it's in paintings, ancient paintings.
Spinning around on its 1 foot.
Yeah, I, when you said spinning on a foot, I'm thinking Spinda, but I don't know if that's actually technically accurate, because it's not always on 1 foot.
Spinda is the Lindsay Lohan of the Pokemon world, I like to say. In her party days.
Ancient ruins and spins.
Makes me think Baltoy.
Oh god! Oh, yeah! Yep, I just got the Claydol. Like, that's Baltoy.
Yeah, or Claydol, maybe, but...
Well, Claydol has 2 feet.
Then Baltoy. And,
yeah, Baltoy.
Baltoy is correct. I just find it really odd they call that a foot. I don't know why they call it a foot.
Foot, yeah.
I wouldn't.
Foot is like... Yeah. That's not a proper description.
Okay.
That's not a proper description.
Well,
blame
you're...
TPCI.
You're 3 for 3. This next one is going to come from Farmer Fox. What are the 6... there are 6 answers, by the way. For every 2, you get a point. So they're up to 3 points. What are the 6 evolutionary lines that can learn Spore?
Oh, we got this. We've been friends with Sephylos long enough.
Breloom and Parasect.
Breloom and Parasect.
Those are correct.
I know its name. Amoongus is one of them, but then there's Fairy Shroom. Morlul line.
Morlul, yeah.
I'll take the Morlul line. That
Shenotic.
Is 4.
It's Shenotic, right?
Shenotic, yeah. That's 4. What I'm thinking of, yeah.
There's 4.
Tenta, what's the new, not Tentacruel?
Toadstool.
Toadstool
is correct. Yeah, that's 5.
What else learns 4?
There's usually 1 per generation. And it's almost always a mushroom of some sort, right?
It's generally a mushroom, yeah.
Let's see, we got Breloom, Amoongus, Morlul, Parasect, Shenotic, Toadstool. Did they add one in Gen 4?
Gen 4...
5's was Amoongus, or 6 for that matter.
I can't think of the... I'm going to probably kick myself because I can't think.
I don't know if you're going to kick yourself, but you're going to be like, why didn't I think of that? You do have the hint, by the way.
No, we just used it on the...
Did you?
It's not like we can cash it in.
I thought we used it on the Pokedex one by essentially going 1 then.
We just lost something from
that.
You
lost a point. It usually would have been 2 points for question 4. I'm usually just nice and let you recover.
Though they're always brutal.
Wait a minute. Yep, okay, let's look at what we have already.
Breloom, Amoongus, Parasect, Shenotic, Toadstool.
And which of these might have another, if you will, form?
Tentacruel? No.
That's technically true. Maybe a paradox of sorts.
Oh, God. Brute Bonnet.
Brute Bonnet is correct. That is all 6. You guys are 6 for 4.
It took me a minute because I have all the boring names of, like, steal this, steal that, iron this. It's just like...
Brute Bonnet, yeah.
They did Violet so dirty with the Paradox names.
Yeah, they did. 100%.
They really did.
All right.
That's why it took. He's like, wait, what is it?
It's still newer.
Your last question is, as always, your base stat question. And this is going to come from Patron Saint. What unevolved Pokemon that can evolve, so a not NFE Pokemon, has the highest single base stat of any stat?
So it's higher than even like a fully evolved Pokemon?
No. Out of every NFE.
Only out of NFEs. Okay. Yeah. Well, Cosmoland comes straight to... Well, it will be in a minute, right?
Yeah, and I'm not that. I don't know if that's what it's leading towards to going to Duraludon, because it got like what base 125 or 145 or something like that. I can't remember. I don't remember Duraludon's stats.
You do have the hint, or you could try to cash.
You know
in.
What?
I feel like it's Cosmoem, right? Because that thing is just right. The most lopsided thing you'll ever see.
Yeah, no, I think Cosmoem. I think it's like almost a. Can't remember, I think 120 or 130 or 140, I don't know, it's 100 something in the defenses.
It's something really, like, stupidly high, because it's just, like, it just sits there until it evolves.
Yeah.
So okay, I want to say Cosmoem, yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Cosmoem is unfortunately incorrect.
Wow, okay.
The answer is Onyx.
That makes 160. Sense. 160
Onyx
defense.
Has a base 160 defense. The next highest is actually Munchlax with the 135 HP. Kranidos follows up with 125 attack, and Mantyke has something else, but it wasn't listed for me. And Duraludon, I guess, soon because it has 120s and special defense and special attack.
Yeah,
but yeah,
can't wait for a Duraludon.
Well, you guys
and
got 6 points there,
well,
though.
What is Cosmoems then? I want to know.
I don't know.
Might be one.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, look it up real quick. I'm going to total up these points for you while we're doing that.
Let's see here. Stats.
Sun, Moon, Alola, down to...
131 defense and special defense.
That's not bad.
That's so high.
Yeah.
I can't believe there's that many things
that
above
been,
it.
That would have been actually above the Kranidos, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not above, yeah.
Wouldn't have actually mattered in the long run, but...
Yep. All right, so new point totals. Most everybody's pretty close together, actually, it turns out. Seth Vilo
together.
Is in first with 25. In second, there is a four-way tie at 14 points between Mark, Linnean, Shark, and Sublime. There is a three-way tie for sixth place between Sigma, Jushiro, and Shamu at 12 points. Whimsicott's got 11, and Claude's bringing up the rear with 6. Though I think he wants to be on every show he possibly can be from now on, so he might end up taking it all. But all right, that is going to be it for today's trivia. We're going to kick it on over now, guys, to the topic. Are you addicted to cardboard like myself and Seth? Maybe you want to pick up a booster box of Obsidian Flames next week. Well, the best way to do it is to support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout. Whenever you do so, we get a small kickback, and we really appreciate the support. So make sure, if you're buying anything, whether it's Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh!, you can head on over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout. Get a 5% kickback for using the code and supporting the show. We appreciate everything you guys do, and we will catch you on the flip-flop. Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be modern Pokemon. How do we feel about it? Like, Gen 1 was, you know, 20-some years ago now. Almost 30, which is scary to think of. And honestly, Pokemon's done a lot to modernize. I mean, they put out that whole thing. They've become an annual release, for the most part, if you include DLC. I mean, they have been that way for, like, a decade. With the exception of, I think, 2014 or 2015. They didn't release a game. It was 2015. They didn't release a game. They've just been kind of churning these guys out. It kind of brings up the idea of, because we've seen a lot of changes from Gen 1 to now, and I think it kind of brings up a lot of things. Like we were talking about earlier, the idea of the starters being monotype in Gen 8. Like, what was that?
Horrible decision.
I mean, I also bring up the point that a lot of starters, as of late too, just like become people in their final forms.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, anthropomorphic starters. I think a lot of people have disliked that trend.
I've disliked that trend a lot. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've mentioned it so many times on the show, but I think, in all honesty, Skeledirge is a breath of fresh air. Skeledirge renewed my faith. Like, that whole line renewed my faith in Pokemon, in their designs, for starters. Because I'm not even mad about Meowscarada, in all honesty. Like, I'm not upset about it. And Quaquaffle, I'm not upset about either. But the fact that they just took, like, in Gen 8, particular, Gen 8 was just, like, a really bad offender of a lot of things. A lot of tropes in Pokemon. Honestly, because I think they leaned really hard on the tropes to try to get a game out on the Switch. And so they didn't spend nearly as much time doing a lot of design work that they would typically do. I think that's how we ended up with Grookey, Cinderace and
Scorbunny and yeah.
I think that's kind of how we ended up there, because I think nowadays, especially in the hype cycle, we're always just like very excited to see what types the starters end up being when they fully evolve, because it feels like they're growing with you to some extent.
Yes, it is exciting. Exactly. Yeah.
They're growing with you, and so they're like, it's like they unlock a new ability at the end. It's kind of like when you play D&D, right? Like, you're always looking for like level 12, because that's like when your stuff really kicks in, or level 13, something like that. That's like, you know, when 7th level spells kick in, all this other crazy stuff kicks in.
Baldur's Gate's impact.
Man, Baldur's Gate's fun, but the thing is done to my in-person group is very frustrating.
Shove is not a bonus action in real D&D, so don't even try it, okay?
Please stop trying to do things that you've just did in Baldur's Gate. Well, they're also like asking me for like what number they need to roll to hit.
We're not telling you.
I'm not telling you.
You'll find out. Yeah.
You deduce it on your own.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. They're like, but Baldur's Gate tells you.
We're not giving it to you. Yeah. Also, guidance requires concentration, so don't even try it with everything.
I've got this one guy who plays an artificer in my group. This is not Pokemon. He plays Artificer in my group, and he always casts Shield, right? And he's got, like, because it gives him, like, an AC of, like, 25 or something stupid.
Plus 5, yeah. Love Shield. An amazing spell.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you a, like, Shield gives you. Shield is good.
He got upset because I stopped telling him what I rolled on attack rolls against him, and I only tell him if it hits or not. And he's like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because you're just going to metagame whether or not you should cast Shield the entire time. And if you've got like an AC of 27, I'm going to make you do some guesswork here. Okay. You can tell me if you can survive. Yeah. Okay. Either way, Pokemon and anthropomorphic starters.
One trend I have noticed with the starters that I do like, though, yeah, in more recent generations, not their anthropomorphic, like mini people trend.
Yes.
Which hopefully we're stepping away from.
I really hope so. Skeledirge is like really cool, actually. Like
iconic. Very that. I do like that, and Galar did this well as well, in spite of its other, you know, dropped balls, mm-hmm, is how each of them represents, like, some touchstone about, like, the culture that the region represents, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you had the soccer player, you had the punk drummer, and you had the spy, all British.
Do you like that?
I think it's cute at the very least. You know, it's at least a nod.
I do. Especially with, like, Gen 9, like, you had the reference to Carnival.
Yeah.
Gen 6 had, like, I loved it when, I feel like it was introduced in Gen 6 with the, kind of like the RPG tropes, right? Where they did, like, the knight, the mage, and the, like, scoundrel, right?
I'm a little mixed on it, if that makes sense. Like, I love that we get to celebrate all of these, like, cultural things in Pokemon. But part of me kind of just, I don't know. This is me being a Gen 1-er to some extent, or a Gen 2-er, or whatever you want to call me. But I look back at, like, Feraligatr and Charizard and all those guys, and it just feels very, like, setting neutral in terms of starter designs. Like, it just feels very culturally neutral, and these are just cool monsters that I want to catch. And I kind of want that, like, at least once again. You know what I mean? At the same time, like I said, I really enjoy being able to celebrate these cultures and having these motifs.
Yeah, I really enjoy the motif of it.
But I do think sometimes it gets a little heavy-handed when we, like, inspire regions with the inspiration from the regions. Like, I think Paldea was actually pretty tame and well done. It's definitely based on Spain, but it wasn't, like, in your face. Like, the one that was really bad is Alola, okay? That thing smacks Hawaii in your face.
Yeah, and there's been some... I've heard some interesting conversations about, like, whether the Lele's are an inappropriate use of, like, depicting like a religious like significant figure.
The Tapus.
Yeah, the Tapus, not the Lele's. There's only one Tapu Lele, but yeah.
That's what, yeah, there's only one Lele. I meant to say the Tapus, and then I said Lele, because that's my favorite.
I remember that card, too.
It was a great card.
It was a great card. Tapu Lele GX, great card. But it's, I don't know, like, I just, I'm mixed on it to some extent. I do like it, because it's just, like, another thing to, like, guess and, like, speculate where we can get the next one at.
Yeah, like, I do enjoy this Demotus. It's just, I will say, like, Gen 8 was the first gen where I'm like, I'm not gonna even use these starters. Screw this. These are terrible. I hate them all.
I mean, those designs just were not my favorite in Galar. Like, it's fine.
I'll still use the starter, Jenna. Like, every game up to that point, I used the starter.
I also think monotype starters...
This was the first game where I'm like, I'm done with this, you know? Like, screw these starters.
I think monotype starters are just kind of over, though, right? Like, I don't even know if they were good to begin with. Like, if you have a full roster of monotypes. Because, like, you look at some gens that people don't look so fondly back at, and so I love Gen 2, but even I can go, well, maybe, like, we didn't need... Yeah, like, Meganium needs something.
It really needs a fairy type. I know.
You know, like, Meganium needs something here, and yeah, even and then you look back even at Gen 5, with the exception of Emboar, like, not a lot of people look fondly back on those starters, with the exception of Snivy. I think Snivy is the best one.
Yeah, I mean, well, we also have the Young Oshawott, right? Like,
Young Oshawott, that's what we have, but I don't know. It's like Samurott.
I feel like Oshawott and Snivy both have fans, and Tepig is there.
I did like Tepig, but not for, like, design. I think, like, Emboar was a very unique mon to me, because, like, it was the first mon of, like, a fire typing. They got, like, electric and water coverage on top of, like, grass, too. It got, like, so many random moves. Not saying it was a good mon, but it was, like, it was a sign of being the first mon that got...
I think we were also just tired of three firefightings in a row when it came out.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, three fire fightings in a row was kind of uninspired, especially when they didn't do anything super special with the other two.
Yeah.
Like, if we would have gotten, like, Hisui and Samurott that gen, I think that would have been a massive improvement.
Two monos and a duel.
Yeah, but the duel was something that we had already seen two gens in a row. Like, Gen 4, I think, is, like, almost peak.
Excellent, yeah.
Is almost peak, because they all got a cool, unique-ish duel typing. It went over very well. I liked them all. I am not mad at Infernape or Empoleon or Torterra.
I feel like Torterra got the short end of the stick, but it's hard for grass not to, so, you know.
You're right.
You got Stab Earthquake. That's decent.
Yeah, that's something.
I want to pivot the conversation away from starters, so it's just not like starter review. We've got that episode coming out in a few months after we're done with all the types, right? We've got, there's this, the trend of going over... And just doing DLC, and I don't know, how do we feel about, I don't want to say Dexit per se, because I know that we'll get very upset about this, Sublime specifically, and me, I definitely used to, but not so much anymore with, like, the new home updates.
I mean, upset, like, whatever. Snivy finally came back to me. Do I feel like I was robbed of years of it? Yes, but it's back.
I'm starting to feel a lot better about it, especially with the way home is implemented. Like, I've said this on the episode where we got the home update a few months ago, but I'm very happy with the way they've implemented it so that you have backwards compatibility. It really does. If I liked Sword and Shield more than I do, I would be very excited about this. The idea that I can go back and forth between Scarlet and Violet and Sword and Shield with the same Pokemon. And honestly, I think it makes the idea of going and catching new Pokemon or certain Pokemon even more exciting to me, right? Like, let's say we can put, you know, your Galarian Meowth in Scarlet and Violet, but I need to go get one, and so I have to go play Sword and Shield to go get it. I really like that. I'm not going to lie. The idea of, like, oh, you have to go do that. I'm also kind of okay with it with PLA as well, with some of the evolutions there. I do think that if a Pokemon has an evolution, they should be able to evolve in any game that it's in. I am very frustrated right now looking at you, Stantler.
Yeah, the evolution part I do understand.
Yeah, Ursaluna in particular is, like, such a cool Pokemon.
Kleavor as well. I want to be able to evolve my Scyther into Kleavor today, please.
I want to make Scyther the next Eevee. Give me a Scyther evolution every generation.
I feel like that's what they want to do with some of these Pokemon, but they're, like, they're trying to watch out to make sure they're not too crazy about it.
Yeah, because then the issue is then you're going to have the reason why they made Toads cool and Toads cruel instead of
Yeah.
Paldean of those two, because that's something, like...
That's 100% what they're doing.
That was a fun shift. I actually really like that they made a convergence as opposed to just variance.
So they don't call them convergence, and I don't...
They don't have an actual, like, official name. They're but that's what we call them.
I like calling them lookalikes. I like calling them lookalikes.
Wug Trio. Loved that.
No, you didn't. Nobody likes Wug Trio.
I did. I do. Okay, I would never use it, but I appreciate its existence.
I was so upset by Wug Trio. I was kind of hoping that we'd get something cool like Wiglet. They're like, oh, here's Wiglet. I'm like, oh, man, they're going to do something really cool with Wiglet and make it not evolve into something stupid like Wug Trio. And then I caught a Wiglet, and then I evolved it into Wug Trio, and I was like, I hate everything right now.
But no, before we get too carried off on, like, forms and stuff, I want to go back to, like, the Dexit-ish.
Yeah.
The one thing I really am a fan of, the, like, I don't like how they did it, of course. The marketing was terrible, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What this does for the games, and, like, with the DLC, with, remember, we talked about Regulation E is going to introduce all the DLC Pokemon? That's a whole new fresh breath of air into the format.
No, I do like it. I do think the form...
And that's what I really like, because it's one of those things of, like, halfway through, you get a shake-up, and it's like, cool, there's new fun things to play around with. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you introduce Incineroar or something, and then you get screwed over.
I would agree with you if it was actually halfway.
Yeah.
If it was actually... Because if you remember Sword and Shield, they did the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And it is fine, because I really do love pre-bank metas that existed, like, back in the day. Like, I know you and I are both big fans of pre-bank metas.
Pre-bank XY was the best meta in the entire world.
Oh my god, I loved XY gen, like, competitive.
I do miss pre-banks, which I guess we have all the time now. We just have pre-bank meta. But I really do enjoy... My only issue, from the VGC perspective, these are happening so fast. Like, every 2 months, I swear, we get a new regulation.
Yeah, they are, like, cycling through them very fast.
And then the problem is you're going to end up with a Sword and Shield problem where they're in the same regulation essentially for like a year. And it's like the bad one where Zacian's legal and it just destroys everything.
Part of the thing too was with Sword and Shield, they decided to make one of the DLCs Oops All Legends, and that messed up a lot of things.
Oops All Legends. I do like that.
That didn't like, yeah, you got a lot of like the cool, like older nostalgia, like good things like Nidoking. You got I think we got Metagross in a deal. No, we don't. I think in Alakazam, I think. But like, again, we got like, you got some like strong haymakers for like maybe singles, not exactly VGC though. And then the Legends one kind of screwed it all over. And then we also had Sword and Shield for way too long with that DLC.
With that last one. Yeah, that's what I.
See, I think it needs to be a mix between the lengths of times, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, like...
You fix this, honestly, by just, like, introducing another round of DLC.
And honestly, too, with the raids, the Unrivaled raids were a nice way to go, here's a little bump of a starter line, you know? And they could easily do that with future games with just not always starters.
I hope they do that. No, I would... I think they handled raids this gen so much better than last gen.
The style works a bit. They're slowly figuring out what works and what doesn't, and they're also kind of like, they're trying to push the boundaries.
I mean, it was the second chance for them to fix it, so I'm glad that it improved, yeah.
I do like that they went ahead and slowly introduced new Pokemon to make you want to go play the raids.
Oh, no, it was a very good, like, it was a drip feed of content to a degree of, like, here, go play the game again for, like, a month, or not even a month, like, a week and a half, and it's like, cool, you did it, and then you're, like, it got people to play the game again and get back into it, and some people stuck a bit longer, some people didn't, you know, of course, but it made the game feel a bit more alive, where there's still stuff going on, other than just, like, here's, like, 4 months of nothing, here's a DLC, people play it for, like, a month. It dies for another, like, 5 months. Here's the second DLC. People play it for, like, maybe 2 months, and then it dies again. Which, it gave it to a point of where people were playing it, and then they were still, like, playing it here and there when the raids were dropping and the events and stuff. And honestly, like, I always want the DLC sooner than later, but I would be very much okay with them spacing it out a bit more. Because that gives them... It gives you more time to play with the stuff.
I would love more drip feed.
Oh, no, I want more drip feed too, for sure. But I'm just saying, like, cause we're gonna have DLC, month DLC, then there's gonna be nothing probably for like a year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm worried about.
I'd rather them, like, have it, like, in, like, the first one in like mid-fall, instead of like maybe push it like to October 13th or something like that, and then push the second one to like maybe like January or February.
I think I'm okay with the September release, but I do agree with you. Like if the next one does come out in November, that is going to be very quick. I hope that we kind of just get them spread out, getting them spread out a little bit more, even just more in general. Like I think they could do more.
With Sword and Shield, right after the DLC came out, we had PLA.
Yes.
And so if they don't have any equivalent of that, it doesn't have to be like the sequel to PLA, but if there's not something replacing that spot, I think they would have more time to spread it out a bit more.
Oh, for sure.
So that makes me think maybe there is something else if we're getting September and November.
No, so probably they need to release whatever DLC we get by February, right? Because February is going to come, they're going to do Pokemon Day, they're going to announce Black and White, whatever, Black and White remakes or whatever.
It'd either be like that and or like the next PLA installment, assuming they also do it, which they should, but you never know. Yeah.
They better. You never know. I don't care when, it just needs to happen.
As much crap as like BDSP gets...
BDSP was fine for what it was. Like, I think the price point was a little... It should have probably been, like, a $50 game at the very, like, most.
That's the thing, is it's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, like, a fine game to play, like...
No, but doing the 1-2, though, is the big thing, actually. Like, the BDSP to PLA. I feel like PLA did as well as it did, at least in terms of, like, the fandom and my enjoyment of it, because BDSP came out. BDSP, I went through, played it, and I remembered all of, like, the Gen 4 things, and they're just like, hey, remember all those Gen 4 things? Now we're taking them all to the past. And if they would have just dropped PLA, I don't think I would have been able to appreciate a lot of the things they put in PLA without revisiting original Sinnoh beforehand.
You know what? I would actually, I like the trend of that, too. If that's a trend that continues of where we get a Gen remake and then a PLA, like, a legend game of that game.
I think they have to go together.
That would be a very fun 1-2 punch for, like, the off year.
I think you have to.
They could get, like, those two games in, and I feel it makes sense to do it, too. And so you have people who are new to the franchise who've never played Black and White, and they wouldn't understand the things in a Legends Black and White game because they've never played Black and White.
Yeah, Black and White's a unique opportunity as well, just because it's the only game with an explicit sequel. I'm curious how they'll see that, yeah.
I'm genuinely concerned about Gen 5 getting a remake.
Same, to a degree, because if they don't do two, or they don't figure out a way to make one into two type of thing, it's gonna be bad. Like, Black and White 1 is terrible. You can fight me on that, I don't care, but it's...
In retrospect, as existing as a game in a group of games, right? A group of Pokemon games, I think it is fun to go back to. One is the newest installment in your franchise, I think it is a terrible play experience, because it has nothing recognizable, it is the only Pokemon game.
It's the soft reset, yeah.
It's the only Pokemon game in the entire franchise where you cannot catch a Pikachu.
Which is kind of, like, unique. It's unique.
Well, it speaks to what they were trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
I think it also is a symbol of why it failed.
Well, I don't know that I would say it failed, because I think, obviously, the sequel was intended, like, pre-planned, and obviously fixed that issue.
The reception of Black and White was just very poor. And it was mostly because of the fact that we didn't have things like Pikachu. And they do exist, actually.
Oh, you mean the reception of a game because it didn't have Pokemon in it makes it less well-received?
I mean, it goes with my theory all the time that every new design that we get doesn't feel like a Pokemon initially. Instead, what we actually need is there's like a period of time where that Pokemon gets solidified in all of our minds as this is a Pokemon.
Yeah, you gotta digest it.
Yeah, you gotta digest it. And I think what aids with that...
I mean, there have been changes in, like, design aesthetic, for sure, over time as well.
But there's definitely, like, my theory is if you put a new Pokemon that we're still digesting alongside a Pikachu or a known Pokemon, it is much easier for us to make that to digest that.
Yeah, because you go, here's a Pokemon, here's a creature. Oh, they're together. That must mean these most are probably Pokemon, you know, and it just... It's a mental thing. You know?
I think it's really a mental thing. Like, I don't know. Game Freak should hire me. I'll give them theories. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up particularly? Because these were the big things that I really wanted to talk about.
No.
My main thing was, like, the DLC stuff. And I think it's, like, I do think, like, it's okay not to have everything day one as long as we get a good chunk of it. Because it got to a point where there's a point where you have 10,000 Pokemon. You can't really make that work.
I agree with that. I do think with the conversations they've had recently, at least through that article that we saw a couple weeks ago, I think a good strategy for them, and I mean, this fixes a lot of people who complain about Dexit still. I don't know that I complain that I would complain about Dexit at this point, but I would appreciate them not having it in a game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm super ready for Smash Bros. Ultimate Everybody's Here game.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, we have the technology.
I'm really here for it, and I am ready. And I think it would be very cool to see them go ahead and just drop a third and fourth DLC, and that's 200-ish.
That's something I would.
That's 200-ish new Pokemon. We could get more regulation time out of it, but we can slowly get every Pokemon back that way as well.
That is one thing I'd be curious to see if they do attempt to do. Is if they have like a third and fourth DLC plan, because that would also be a thing of like, okay, here's the possibility that we will get every Pokemon every gen from now on, just not immediately.
That's kind of my worry, that if it happens, they go, is this the norm now? Question mark.
That's another issue too, is like, and then what if it takes like, instead of taking 1 year to do it or 2 years, it takes like 5 years and you're stuck with like Sword and Shield thing again. There's definitely downsides to it, but it's also something of, we just don't. We're in this point of they're doing new things and we don't know everything really, because they could definitely like, they could change it up again. We could get Black and White again.
Yeah, like our current trend has basically only been the Switch cycle.
Yeah.
I do like this Age of Pokemon Home though. Like they've been doing it, like sort of, when it wasn't fleshed out, it was very hard to see. But now that they've kind of fleshed it out, I, or at least are starting to flesh it out, I kind of really appreciate the mobility of Pokemon between games. And I really like this ecosystem that they're creating in that sense. So I kind of hope they keep it up. I hope they keep it up in that sense. But I don't know. There's definitely some room for improvement. I hope that starters aren't anthropomorphic anymore.
I would have been more okay with, though, if they weren't just, like, essentially people.
I want Venusaur. I want giant turtle, giant frog, giant dragon. I want that.
It's just, like, person, muscular person.
It's like, choose your build. Extra skinny, soccer player, or buff, drummer.
Yeah, like...
It's like, oh, I didn't know I was choosing my frame when I chose my starter.
Because, like, imagine if Talion was, like, more of a chameleon, you know?
Oh, for sure. No, just imagine them being, like, interesting. I don't know.
I really wanted it to be Water Ghost so it could turn invisible.
Yeah, like, there you go. Water Ghost Chameleon. It just turns invisible and, like, blends in. Like, cool. The rabbit, honestly, like, I don't like saying it'd be a firefighting.
I like it as a fire electric.
I thought it was going to be fire electric. I thought that would have been cool because it's making sparks from its feet already.
Yeah, it's like running fast.
The only issue there is you'd have a Pokemon. You'd have to buy other balance. It just comes down to the starter balance then, because then you have a starter that's good against two. Not that they haven't done that.
Well, they've done that in Gen 4, which we were just praising, right? Like, Infernape gets the best of both worlds since they decided to give its, like, rival, like, a steel type.
I think that's fine. I think starter Pokemon in terms of typing should just be viewed in a vacuum.
Like, I'd be okay with it. I just want to make, I don't know, because sometimes they go with the thing of they want two cores or they want a reversible core.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what's happening.
I don't know either, but I just don't know. You know, I don't want them to like, here, let's just make one better than the other. So if you have get stuck in like, if you're doing a like, okay, I choose the bad starter. So let's say I chose Inteleon so I can be Score Bunny. And then the Score Bunny just one-shots your Inteleon because it has, like, Electro Ball, you know? That's the issue I come with, because...
I hear what you're saying, but, like, it's happened before. Team of Six.
I think it's fine.
Totally. Team of Six fixes it, of course, but they usually try to make the starters.
Especially because lately they've been giving, like, your rivals the starter that you're strong against, and then they give, like, the champion the one you're weak to.
Yeah, like, they've been doing that, too. I'm just, again...
You want to talk about trends, make rivals scary again. That's what I want. Give me my blues and my, yeah.
I do want, like, a scary fight or two. Gita gave me flashbacks of Kukui, because Kukui was the first fight in a Pokemon game. I actually, like, I got scared, because I just see turn one Stealth Rock, and I'm like, oh no, oh no, like, I just...
Gita would have been scarier if she would have led with Glimmora.
Yeah, like... Gita was like, she had some scary stuff. I think I was also underleveled.
Oh, she's the worst. Yeah. Very, yeah. You know who threw me off and was one of the hardest fights I'd had in a long time was the last Arvin fight, because I did it before I had finished some other stuff, And so he was massively overleveled.
Those fights, if you don't realize they're going to be overleveled, are rough. Because Arv, the same thing for me. It was like, oh, I wasn't prepared for this. And it was a long fight and I lost.
Yes, it was a very long fight. I didn't lose, but oh my god, did I go through like almost all of my revives.
I took a chance on Ice Charge possibly finishing it off, and it didn't, and I lost. I'm like, alright, I deserved that. Like, but yeah, no, like, I would like to see an actual, like, scary fight, you know? Because, like, these raids are kind of what those are, but...
Yeah, a rival that is actually threatening.
But yeah, I would like an actual, like, main story fight where there's, like, a threat towards the end, but I don't know.
Fighting the first rival in blue, like, their team is strong at multiple points.
I do agree with you that bringing back tough rivals would be fun. Or at least rivals that are, like, that aren't, like, super nice to you. Like, the trend exists because, like, blue is just, like, just mean to you. Silver at least warms up to you eventually. Then you've got May, who's just kind of, like, she's just egotistical. Right? May/Brendan are just egotistical.
Yeah, narcissistic. You're like narcissistic, egotistical.
And then you've got, and then Gen 4 was just like, here's Barry.
Barry. And no one likes Barry. I don't like Barry.
You're the $1 million fine.
I don't know. I think Hugh is actually pretty good. A good middle ground between the, like, I want to be your friend rival that we've been having very recently.
Friend and actual competitive, you know, because he's like, he does.
I found him more obnoxious is the problem, I think.
That is the issue, too, because he is obnoxious, not saying he ain't, but, like, he's also, like, the mixture of, like, I am just happy and like, I am friendly, but I am also, like, I want to beat you. But it comes off as how his friendliness and that mixture is really annoying. It was a start, but it wasn't, like, it wasn't the perfect.
It wasn't perfect, but I like it better than...
Oh, I like it better than May. Yeah, May/Wally or Bren, whatever, like...
I like it better than a lot of people, I'm not gonna lie.
You know who I thought was the closest, is actually Sharen.
Yes, Sharen was very good, too.
He was like, ugh, I want to be able to beat you, but, like, he was still polite to you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he treated you like a real rival, and he took it seriously, which I enjoyed. I think he's been the best.
Hop, they tried, I think, because they tried to give him a character arc.
Yeah. I like him as a character, I will say, but I don't think he's compelling as a rival.
Yeah. He was a very cool, like, I got the concept of him. Like, that's cool, but, like, you just ran up to me, said three words, and, like, I fought you, beat you, and then you left. You know, I'm kind of like, it's like there wasn't much to, like, go off of.
They just hop on and hop off. Yeah.
There were a lot of hop battles, though, too. I think I counted, it's like 8 or 9. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's just kind of like, cool, you got trounced and you decided to be really serious instead of using your favorites, which is a cool kind of concept and, like, character arc, and then you just kind of threw that out the window immediately, which I get, but also, like...
Well, he realized, like, it was, like, a very short character arc, because it was, like, within, like, 5 minutes, I swear, he was just like, I'm back, I'm feeling better now.
It was, like, out of the 8 battles, it was a character arc that took place between, like, the mid-3, or, like,
Yeah.
Early mid 3, and it's like there, not even 3, it was like a cutscene of where he goes, fights Bead, loses, gets upset, and then turns back to normal immediately after that upset fight. And it's just like, cool, you know? It might have been a bit different if we saw, like, Bead beat him down, you know? Like, that might have been a bit more interesting.
I think overall, this has been a good point, is that having more interesting / rivals that you want to beat,
versus rivals that you roll your eyes when you see.
I would like the mix of, like, 1-1.
I actually quite enjoyed Nimona, because it's very explicit, hey, I'm holding back because I'm a, like, yeah.
Because I'm better than you.
Yeah. Nimona's great.
I agree.
I enjoy Nimona. I would like, I kind of would like the Gen 5 rival thing of Bianca Charon, I will say, like.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that, yeah.
That's a good mix of having one who's just very, like, friendly but not, like, super strong, but then having one who's more serious and stronger.
And as much as I love X and Y, my god, was that a step down in terms of quote-unquote rivals.
What's your nickname?
We don't do that. No.
T-Hatch.
Sublime. S-Man, no.
All right, well, I think it's a good place to stop. I think this is, we talked about a lot of things, so... I want to know, what did you guys feel about modern Pokemon? Do we need to change anything? Do you want to see things change? Do you want them to stay the same? Send that in to pokopodcast@gmail.com next week. But until then, we are going to kick things on over to our Pokemon of the episode. Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 719, Diancie, the jewel Pokemon.
It can instantly create many diamonds by compressing the carbon in the air between its hands.
The carbon? There's not that much carbon in the air.
Instantly create diamonds.
I'm going to throw this out there. Also, the semiconductor industry would like to talk to you.
I mean, Diancie is just, you know, everyone's best friend, because it makes diamonds.
Yeah.
Did you know that Mega Diancie is on par with Zacian, Crowned Zacian?
Yeah, actually.
They've got the same BST of all fairy types.
Doesn't Crowned Zacian 720?
This might be referring to after, I do not know. Yeah. I'm looking at trivia, but the trivia. I don't know how accurate it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's also two versions of Zacian, right? So,
well, the crowned maybe version, it's the the crowned version is the buffed version, yeah. I think they did reduce it, but I don't know if that's...
They might have reduced it
to make up for its insanely overpowered ability.
Well, they definitely did. Right, definitely did nerf it. I just don't remember the BSTs for both of these. Mega is...
Mega 700.
700. I think so. I think they took off 20 off of it.
Because I thought I remembered it being base 720, but I believe you.
You know what it is? You know what it is? In Gen 9, they dropped it to 700. In Gen 8, it was 720, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it is, before it wasn't.
We're all right.
That's wild.
Woo. Yeah.
Why would they, they changed it. They dropped it by 20.
Because
you know what? You can't have a Pokemon that wields a sword or they'll nerf you. That's what we've learned.
Yes.
What about Sirfetch? They haven't gotten
Sirfetch
nerfed.
It was nerfed by being Sirfetched.
Yeah. All right. Well, Diancie's actually pretty decent. Both defenses are base 150 and special attack and attack are actually 100. Its HP is lacking 50 and its speed is also pretty slow at 50, but
which can be a good thing because it does learn Trick Room.
Yeah, it's a bulky Pokemon and it can work in Trick Room, but even then, like, you can still run like Iron Defense.
Yeah, you're a Carbink that can actually hurt things.
Yeah, you're a Carbink that does things.
Yeah.
Well,
why don't we talk about this Carbink with offense?
Talk about it. We got an RU team. Yeah. This is gonna.
I love RU. RU and UU got some really fun stuff going on.
Yeah, this is actually like this is meant to with offensive Diancie, bulky offense is what this is like. So
we're going with leftovers, abilities clear body, Terra type is fairy. And then we're keeping it simple and bulky for the EVs. 252 HP, 252 special attack, 4 in speed, and then a modest nature. And it's got Calm Mind and Draining Kiss. So you can set up and heal. And then Earth Power and Iron Defense. And Draining Kiss is going to synergize really well with how its HP is relative to its defenses. So that's fun. And you can technically boost both defenses between Calm Mind and Iron Defense.
Yeah, you just become an unkillable monster. Like, and even though you're like, Terra Fairy Draining Kiss sure is something. And it's like, actually, after a Calm Mind or two, and you're gaining back 75%. Because Draining Kiss is one of the higher recovery moves instead of like
50%. It is, since it's a lower damage base to start.
It's like it's like Parabolic Charge. Both of them are like 75% recovery. So you're getting a lot back.
So it's a thick diamond. And then we have Rotom Heat with a choice scarf. And its Terra type is poison. Obviously, the ability has to be levitate. And then the EVs are 248 HP, 248 speed, and 12 into special attack. And this is going to be running Overheat, Volt Switch, Trick, Lava Trick, and then Discharge.
Good, good. Yeah, I've got these two boys. We got an Alola Mamola to help be bulky on this offensive team, this bulky offensive team. It's got Rocky Helmet Regenerator, Bold Nature so that you're bulky. It's got max HP, middling, max defense, but We've got Wish, Whirlpool, Mirror Coat, and Protect. It's literally Alola-Mola just trapping you and making you cry as you just continuously heal yourself. And every time you punch it, you hurt yourself even more with the Rocky Helmet. I love it. It's very cute. You've got Krookodile as well with Leftovers, the ability Intimidate, Terra-type Ground. And you've got an EV spread that is very wild with the exception of the max speed. Jolly Nature, so you're going fast. Taunt, Stealth Rock, Earthquake, and Crunch. This is actually pretty standard Krookodile. I imagine you'd want to lead with this just so you can get some chip if you get your opponents to start switching in and out on you. But yeah, Krookodile is always good.
Yeah.
Krookodile is just always good.
Taunt, Stealth Rock with like max speed is probably just to like shut down an opponent.
Who doesn't like Krookodile? Though. Who don't like Krookodile?
Crookodile's fine.
Yeah.
I like it.
But yeah, next two here, though, are Hirayama with Leftovers and Sick Fat, Terra-type Steel with Max Attack, Adamant, 92 Defense, and 164 Special Defense. It's got Bulk Up, Drain Punch, Bullet Punch, Knock Off. It's kind of like the reverse
Diancie, right? Because you've got the Bulk Up with the Healing move.
Yeah, you got a setup with Utility plus Recovery, and then also Bullet Punch, which can get some stab if you go... Terra Steel. Get some extra oomph if you need it.
It also resists psychic.
It's also a fairy resist, which is I think also why the Rotom might be Terra Poison.
Fairy psychic and flying?
Yeah.
I think all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then after that we've got a Bramblegast with heavy duty boots with Infiltrator, Terra type Grass, max HP, 4 special defense, 252 speed, with a timid nature, so fast, a lot of health. With Rapid Spin, Leech Seed, Curse, and Strength Staff. So you're just very much utility and just...
This entire team is just make your opponent do no damage to me.
Like, yeah, you're just like whittling them down to the point of where they get kind of trapped and you get the chance to set up.
Yeah.
Yep, that's sick. 100% what this is.
You got Leech Seed, Stealth Rock.
This is a Seth Vilo team.
Regenerator. Right? Yes, it really is giving that energy.
Yeah.
Except there's not enough Toxic.
There is not enough Toxic, that's true.
No. Well, Toxic's not allowed toxic enough.
It's toxic enough.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Toxic is very limited on this distribution now.
That's kind of nice, actually. I am kind of not missing everything.
Not everything needs to learn Toxic, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, I know we finished the topic, but like what they've done with move pools, I have enjoyed generation to generation, right? Like not everything needs random coverage, hidden power, right? Like
I love how Gen 9 especially just like destroyed move pools.
Skull, like, never heard of it. That was bold. Yeah. That was a bold step. Yeah.
I love that move pools were just completely reset on Gen 9. So
yeah, reset move pools, not Pokemon. That's what I
say.
The
soft boiled Gen 3 Clefable, no more. Like it's great.
Yeah, yeah. There's the cooling was nice. Like there's nothing that hurt, but like there's a lot of moves like we don't need this anymore. And some of these moves are just like they're just reskin them another move for like a different like Acid Armor plus like Iron Defense. You know, they're like the same move but just different flavors of it. It's like you don't need that really. You really don't need it. You know, it's like, and then like, just some of the moves were just, God, they're like, why? Why did you exist? Feel bad moves. Like, Pursuit is nice and something, like, competitive might be nice, but it's also a real feel bad move if you get Pursuit trapped. Mm-hmm. Just not fun.
Yep. Well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and put this team on the Discord. You can go ahead and also get it on Patreon. I didn't get to it last week because, holy crap, when I came back from traveling for work, did I get slammed? I thought I was going to be able to take it easy, and I just could not. So there's just going to be a bunch of teams that get dumped on Patreon in the coming week. So look out for that. It might have already happened by the time you're listening to this. So, but yeah. All right, guys. We are going to go ahead and kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts on life, the universe, everything, Pokemon. Typically, we have a mailbag question. Last week, we asked you guys what your top and bottom 5 electric types were, and you all had opinions. We're going to go ahead and dive into those momentarily, but of course, this segment, as always, is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. That was something. All right. Moving on. Our first email this week is going to be coming to you from Chief Pancake. What's up, Puckle? Hope y'all are having a shockingly good week. Watts, by the way, or is...
Got it. Yeah.
I tuned into the top and bottom five episode this week, and I wanted to share my own favorites and least favorites. I think bottom five will be a little controversial, but there actually aren't hardly any electric-type Pokemon I hate. That said, Gens 3 and 9 especially just didn't do it for me on electric-types, while Gens 1 and 2 and 5 have nothing but electric-type bangers. Without further ado, here are my lists. Number 1, Alolan Raichu / Raichu. Raichu has been a longtime favorite of mine since Gen 1, but I also endure its pancake-loving Alolan form. Together, they hold my number one spot, and I doubt they'll ever lose it. To be fair, Alolan Raichu, like, evolving because of pancakes, I think is hilarious. Joltik / Galvantula, just speedy, tiny little guys, I love them.
91% accurate Thunder deserves it.
We stand. Yeah, love the compoundized Thunder.
Zekrom, one of my favorite legendaries. I love the generator tail and the cool black design, and I still get chills from its awakening cutscene in black and white. Actually, it is kind of cool. I do like Zekrom. I remember when, like, black and white came out, some of the coolest parts were the legendaries. Like, both Reshiram and Zekrom were very cool.
Yeah.
Magnezone. Finished off its evolution line perfectly, IMO. It's exactly what Magneton needed. I think Magneton and Magnezone are both very fine.
I would agree, yeah, fine.
I think they're fine. They're very fine.
I think Magneton was an okay way to go with it, but you could have also just done, like, 5 balls or 6 balls instead of, like, 3, and that would have been also funny and fine.
Elekid. I really like all 3 members of this line, plus it was one of my childhood birthday cakes. I want a picture of this cake if you can find it.
Yes, please.
Oh my, that sounds good. That's incredible.
Honorable mentions, Mareep, Jolteon, Lantern, and Zapdos. Actually, yes, those are all correct.
Those are fine, yeah, all fine. Lantern's okay.
Bottom 5, Boltund. I don't hate it at all, but it's just Manectric, but more boring, and I needed the 5th bottom member.
I don't disagree.
Boltund's boring.
Yeah, it's derivative.
I actually got really upset, especially when Dexit came out, and they're just like, we just wanted to make sure that there was a diversity of Pokemon, and they all made sense in this region. And then we got Yamper and Boltund, and then they put Electric and Manectric in Sword and Shield. And I was like, why did they do this? They put the same Pokemon in here twice.
I like how all the Gen 9 was just like 3 dogs.
But they're all different. They're all different.
They are different, at least. They are different, at least. But they're just 3 dogs.
Edible dog? Bread dog is best dog.
Bread dog is best dog.
Bread dog is best dog.
Belly Bolt? The eyes, man.
But are those actually eyes?
No one knows. Iron Thorns. I don't love the Violet Paradox Mons, but... And also, this just isn't the Mecha Tyranitar I ever dreamed of. I just wish it was good.
I know. We all do.
Arctozolt. It looks like it's in constant pain. It's just sad. That's the point. Yeah. And then Palmo. Hard agree, actually. This line would be so much better without this pointless middle stage. He is so correct.
Yeah. It's just like, here's Palmo. Here's Palmy standing up, and Palmo with a little shorter limb. Or Palmo, whatever, with shorter limbs. Cool.
Last note on Rotom. I used to love it, but its constant presence as the Rotom phone, Rotom Dash, etc. in both games and anime have soured it for me. I don't disagree with this take, but actually.
If it didn't talk.
Yeah, right.
I'd like it a lot more.
I won't put it in the bottom or top, but it's just been overdone, and I hope they leave it behind next gen. Spoilers, they probably won't.
You want to talk about Pokemon trends we don't like? Rotom phones.
Well, you look at Gen 8 and Gen 9, they both had Rotom phone. We didn't change a thing about it. So I think Rotom phone is here to stay. I'm not going to lie. Peace out, Puckle peeps.
I think so. I think maybe next time we'll get Rotom, like, plane or something.
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh, we can't have Miraidon and Coraidon taking you everywhere. That's okay. Your Rotom can take you anywhere. Just plug it into whatever.
I really do like the Rotom drones, though. I think those are really cute. But all right, peace out, Puckle peeps, from Chief Pancake. All right. Well, thank you for that, Chief Pancake. Our next email is going to come from, I believe, Mull Coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, I got this one. How do you do, Puckle crew? Greetings from Denmark. Love Denmark. Jealous now. First of all, thank you for being the best podcast, and thanks for being a part of my journey the last few years. I started listening to this podcast right after I met my girlfriend. Since then, we've gotten married and have a 1.5-year-old daughter named Luna.
Ooh, congrats.
Love that. Yes, love your story.
On both the marriage and the daughter.
And the child, yes. But now onto the topic, my top and bottom five electric types. Top, fifth place, Magneton. I don't know why, I just always liked Magneton. Magnezone is alright, but Magneton just has something about it. Amazing, shiny, and I always name him Rusty. Mareep and its evolutions. Number four, Electric Sheep. Brilliant. I can imagine going through a dark cave in Johto with a Mareep under my arm while I use its tail as a flashlight.
Okay, carrying it around holding it is the best thought I've ever had about this in my entire life.
And it's going to be so soft while you do it. That's nice. Going to be a lot of static electricity, but that's nice. Number three, Raging Bolt. No joke. I've always loved dinosaurs, and the lore behind this design is smooch. Chef's kiss. I do, though, understand why some people dislike it, and to quote the actor Tom Holland, people prefer dogs, not giraffes.
I have no problems with Raging Bolt. I don't know why people are upset about it.
No, I think they've done really well with those. I'm jealous over here playing Violet.
I'm waiting for the Entei to be good.
It's gonna be, well, fire. We're getting fire, Water Dragon, Electric Dragon, and probably Fire Dragon. Like,
probably.
Oh my god. It's so nuts. I'm so excited we're getting those types finally. They've been like gated and been gone for so long.
Number two, Alolan Golem. Golem has always been cool, but now with a manly beard made out of magnetic dust. Top that with the amazing ability and the move Explosion. Can't wait to use him competitive again. And then first place, Heliolisk. A solar-powered lizard with a cool design. Can it produce enough electricity to power a city? It's peak electric Pokemon design. Then his bottom five, fifth place, Rotom Fan, flying type with Levitate. I am not a fan. He is, though.
To be fair, Rotom Fan wasn't a flying type when it first came out.
It wasn't when it first came out, that is true.
Yeah, they were all still the Electric Ghost with, like, Levitate plus the attack.
You know what? Maybe if they gave Rotom Fan the Gengar treatment, just replace Levitate. Like, whatever. Zipstrika. Blitzel is cute and has so much potential, but became a disappointment. I would love to see a regional form of Zipstrika, I will say.
You know what they do with Rotom Fan? Just give it Motor Drive.
Yeah, exactly. Just give it something else. It's fine.
That would be in line and also make it, like...
Yeah. Number three, Emolga. Oh, see, I disagree, because that's my favorite Pika clone. If I hatch one more Emolga from a 10k egg, I'ma lose it. Let me just tell you right here, Molcoffee. Just don't play Go and you'll be good. But that's fine. You know, do you. Number two, Morpeko. So forgettable and just creepy. Hangry form is pretty cool, but play Morpeko just creeps me out.
Excuse me, Morpeko's great. What?
Yeah, I dislike both Emolga and Morpeko being on this list, but that's okay.
Morpeko's great, but we'll move on.
You know, people have their own tastes, and that's great. And actually, I love this number one that he put.
This number one's good because this is something I've been talking about that I'm fearful of for, like, Legends Unova.
That's what really sold it for me. it's not a cooking pun, so I think we're safe for now, but it's Panzap and Simizap. They don't even exist, and I already hate them.
You know they're coming, though.
That's all for me. That is a great joke, and I will nominate you for Green Tauros for that one.
You know they're coming, though.
Keep on making the Pokemon community a better place. Sincerely thanks, Emil, a.k.a. Molcoffee.
You know that Panzap and Simizap are coming, though, right? Like, that's happening.
You know they have the designs ready for when they want them. I just hope they don't feel the need. I hope they don't feel the need.
Like, they're 1,000% happening, because there is a fourth monkey. It's going to be terrible.
Watch it be a combination of all three, and it's just like, it's always in pain.
It's the Arc to Zold of monkeys.
Yeah.
There's a fourth monkey. Let me, I forget what it is. I think it's Do No Evil. Yeah, it's Do No Evil. It's Say No Evil, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and then there's Do No Evil.
Never heard about that one.
Yeah, there is Do No Evil. He is a fourth monkey in that set. And I just see that, and all I can think about is
when
Enamorous, right? And I go, Enamorous happened. They will do this.
You know what? I like Enamorous though. Maybe it's just because I feel like we still need more fairy types. Yeah,
it's the fact that they finished off a trio of four.
They're gonna do it.
The quartet with three, and then they finish it off later. Yeah. And here's another quartet with three of them in that were also from Gen 5. When are they gonna finish it off?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm waiting for. I'm like, where's my Do No Evil monkey?
Maybe be a Paradoxmon, who knows?
I'm just waiting. All right. Well, next up, is this email from British Gent, and Shamu's got this one.
Yep. All right. Okay, Fash, just wait right there. How dare you say such things about Morpeko? It does not deserve to be on the worst electric list.
It does.
Such an adorable little creature. A unique ability and move. A move that is one of the highest hitting physical electric and dark moves that has +1 speed. Huge move pool. Plus, may I add, it was one of the Team Rocket members. Wait, what? It was one of Team Rocket's team members. Oh, okay. I don't remember that's an anime. Also, my daughters love it. My eldest believes it looks like me when I get hungry. Yes, she bought me the plushie of Hangry Mode.
Yeah.
Saying all of this, the other two twins of Pikachu can go straight to number one in the worst electric list. Plus and minus.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. If plus and minus were good abilities, maybe something different, but no. I will agree, Palmot is somewhere up on the top list for me, mostly because of the draft league we've just had, and it's been on nearly every team, and it's helped me get to the finals. Finally, after all the competitions we've had in Puckle on the game, I got to a final. I have been in a final once before, back on Game Corner, both finals I will have faced Linian, fingers crossed I can beat him without any Haxorus. He brought Haxorus against Linian before.
I think it was a joke about Hax.
It was about Hax, but he also put Haxorus. Oh. Hax and Haxorus, yeah. But, anyway, I do hope you are looking forward to the DLC coming out in just over a week. I'm sure Sublime is now happy we finally got Snivy back.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. Yeah.
And, until next time, British Gent.
Probably not until November, but thank you for that, British Gent. So Green Taurus Badge, I believe that Mull Coffee got a resounding nomination from Sublime.
Yeah, I mean, that Panzap and Simizap joke at the end was a winner. That's a winner.
Panzap and Simizap is pretty good. So I think, Mull Coffee, you got that badge.
You did. Good job.
If you guys want to email us next week, I'm going to put an extra mailbag question in the description. But I'm also going to ask you guys what you think about Pokemon's current trends in modern Pokemon. Is there anything you want to change about what Pokemon games are like now?
About the direction we're going, yeah.
Do you like it? Tell us why. Email us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Of course, if you want to spend time with us throughout the week, the best way to do so is come to the Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, also check us out at Twitch and Patreon. Additionally, or Twitch and YouTube, you can also support the show by going to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. Oh, wait, is that the link? I actually don't know. It's in the show notes. I'm just saying words too fast. But we appreciate the support we get over there. You can get Pokemon distributions, exclusive episodes like Puckle's Poke Quiz or Puckle's Game Corner over there. You can also go at, I'm hoping to get some more stuff up there soon, actually. I've got some other ideas that I want to toss around. And then, of course, you can go ahead and, or if you're addicted to cardboard like myself and Shamu, you can go to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout for a 5% discount. But yeah, that's everything. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
And I continue to be Sublime.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.